Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jana Mala Bhagiri Varadari Jana Mala Bhagiri Varadari Jana Mala Bhagiri Varadari Jana Mala Bhagiri Varadari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Manachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadari Gopi Jana Vallabha Varadari Gopi Jana Vallabha Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamunati Ravanachari Yamunati Ravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari
Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parabrajikacharya Stotara Satya's Divine Grace Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai BBT Founder Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sekaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Bhazali Gaura Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakun Radha Kun Giri Govardhana Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Jamuna Mai Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Their most beautiful lordship, Shri Shri Radhananda Nishwara Ki Jai, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai, Agiriraj Maharaj Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gauranitai Ki Jai, Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai, Sankirtan Yogya Ki Jai, Brihab Mardanga Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai, Nitai Gauda Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Radhanath Swami Iti Namine. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachalini Nivishesha Shanyavani Pascha Chadesha Talini. Hare Krishna. Thank you all very much for coming to hear from Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the source of our perfection. But as you can see, so many people in London, and how many are hearing from the Bhagavatam. Of course, there are many who are watching from home, probably somewhere in the region of about 50 computers who are logged on, so we'd also like to welcome all of you. So we'll continue our reading this morning from the Srimad Bhagavatam, reading from the first canto. Now we've gone back to the first canto just for the time of the marathon. Reading from the fifth chapter of the first canto, which is Narada Muni's instructions on the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we'll be discussing this morning. Before I begin, I would first like to seek blessings from all of the assembled Vaishnavas that you see fit to bestow your mercy upon me so that I can speak something relevant and bona fide from this exalted scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Purana, the spotless Purana. Only by the mercy of Vaishnavas is anything possible. Hare Krishna. So please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devam Saraswatiam Vyasam Tato Jayam Udireyed Dastra Praishwa Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatu Tamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. So reading from Chapter 5 of the first canto, text number 10. Ask you to please repeat. Nayadvachas chitra padam hare yasho. Jagapavitram pragrinita karhi chit. Tadvayasam tit. Tam ushanti manasa nayatra hamsa niramanchu shikshakaha shayaha niyadvachas chitra padam harer yasho jagapavitram pragranita karhi chit. Tadvayasam tirta mushanti manasa Nayatra hamsa niramantu shikshayaha. Someone else would like to try? Nayad vachas chitra padam hariya yasho. Jagat pavitram pragrinita karhichit. Tadvaya samtitam shanti manasa. Nayatra hamsa niramantu shikshayaha. Ladies, please. Word for word translation. Na, not. Yat, that. Vachaha, vocabulary. Chitrapadam, decorative. Harehe, of the Lord. Yashaha, glories. Jagat, universe. Pavitram, sanctified. Pragrinita, described. Karhichit, hardly. Tut, that. Vayasam, crows. Tirtam, place of pilgrimage. Ushanti, think. Manasaha, saintly persons. Na, not. Yatra, where. Hamsaha, all perfect beings. Niramanti, take pleasure. Ushikshayaha, those who reside in the transcendental abode. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord, who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered by saintly persons to be like unto a place of pilgrimage for crows. Since the all-perfect persons are inhabitants of the transcendental abode, they do not derive any pleasure there. Please repeat. Those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord, who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered by saintly persons to be likened to a place of pilgrimage for crows. Since the all-perfect persons are inhabitants of that transcendental abode, they do not derive any pleasure there. Purport. Crows and swans are not birds of the same feather because of their different mental attitudes. The fruitive workers or passionate men are compared to the crows, whereas the all-perfect saintly persons are compared to swans. The crows take pleasure in a place where garbage is thrown out, just as the passionate fruitive workers take pleasure in wine and women and places for gross sense pleasure. The swans do not take pleasure in the places where crows are assembled for conferences and meetings. They are instead seen in the atmosphere of natural, scenic beauty, where there are transparent reservoirs of water, nicely decorated with stems of lotus flowers and variegated colors of natural beauty. This is the difference between the two classes of birds. Nature has influenced different species of life with different mentalities, and it is not possible to bring them up into the same rank and file. Similarly, there are different kinds of literature for different types of men of different mentality. Mostly the market literature, which attract men of crows categories, are literatures containing refused remnants of sensuous topics. Prabhupada is so poetic. Refused remnants of sensuous topics. They are generally known as mundane talks in relation with the gross body and subtle mind. They are full of subject matter described in decorative language, full of mundane similes and metaphorical arrangements. Yet, with all of that, they do not glorify the Lord. Such poetry and prose on any subject matter is considered decoration of a dead body. Spiritually advanced men who are compared to the swans do not take pleasure in such dead literatures, which are sources of pleasure for men who are spiritually dead. These literatures in the modes of passion and ignorance are distributed under different labels, but they can hardly help the spiritual urge of the human being, and thus the swan-like spiritually advanced men have nothing to do with them. Such spiritually advanced men are called also manasa, because they always keep up the standard of transcendental voluntary service to the Lord on the spiritual plane. This completely forbids fruitive activities for gross bodily sense satisfaction or subtle speculation of the material egoistic mind. Social literary men, scientists, mundane poets, theoretical philosophers, and politicians who are completely absorbed in the material advancement of sense pleasure are all dolls of the material energy. They take pleasure in a place where rejected subject matters are thrown. According to Swami Sridhar, this is the pleasure of the prostitute hunters. But literatures which describe the glories of the Lord are enjoyed by the Paramahamsas, who have grasped the essence of human activities. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Ajnanati Minandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Gena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Gena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurun Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Verse again, Nayadvachas Chitripadam Hare Yosho Jagat Pavitram Pragrinita Karhichit Tadvayasam Tirtam Ushanti Manasa Nayatra Hamsa Nirmantusik Shayaha. Those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord, who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered by saintly persons to be likened to a place of pilgrimage for crows. Since the all-perfect persons are inhabitants of the transcendental abode, they do not derive any pleasure there. So this verse and purport excuse me, is specifically comparing two types of literature and also two types of personalities who generally find pleasure or enlivenment in those literatures. And those types of persons are being compared to birds. Excuse me. So what are the two types of birds that are being described here? Anyone can tell me? Crows and swans. So the crows are being compared to what type of person? Human. Someone said human? Okay, yeah, humans. But what specific type of humans? Non-devotees, maybe, yeah? Crows are being compared to saintly persons. Okay, I don't think that one's correct, but nice try. Crows are being compared to? Fallen persons, okay. Specifically, Srila Prabhupada said something. I'm just checking to make sure everyone's still awake, because... Huh? Fruitive workers, those who are attached to material sense gratification, and specifically, those, what are crows like? Anyone has seen a crow? Right? Where do crows hang out? In garbage dumps. So crows hang out in places where refuse has been thrown out, where there's garbage. And they like to eat the remnants of that garbage, and they relish it. They like it. They enjoy it. But the other type of bird is the swan, and the swan is compared to the saintly persons, yes. So the swan is compared to the saintly persons. And the swans, those type of birds, they find pleasure. Where do you find the swans? In beautiful lakes. Where? In Regent's Park. Yeah, I'm not... Yeah, okay. So you find them in beautiful lakes or the lake at Regent's Park. But Prabhupada says here, transparent lakes... with many lotuses of variegated colors. And the swans are swimming there. So that's where the swans like to hang out. So what you have here is a dichotomy that's set up, which is, Prabhupada says in his purport something very interesting that I'd like to explore more, but maybe not in this talk. But he says that nature has influenced different species of life with different mentalities, and it is not possible to bring them up into the same rank and file. So basically, what he's saying here is that a crow is a crow, and you're not going to find a crow hanging out with the swans, and the swans are not going to go and hang out with the crows. So the mentality here is that of the devotees or saintly persons, and those persons whose mentality, Jai Shishi Radhalandanishwar, Gita Govardhan, Shishi Gornitai, Jagannath Baladev, Subhadra Maharani, Ki Jai. Yeah, those people who are seeking sense gratification, as Prabhupada says, seeking pleasure in wine and women, compared to prostitute hunters, those personalities are trying to relish a certain taste or pleasure. But those persons who are trying to relish spiritual life, they will more and more find those places of pleasure not very pleasing or appealing, and they will want to associate more with the swans, the swan-like devotees. Actually, there are many verses where this analogy is used, Prabhupada explains, and in the Bhagavatam. So the swan-like devotees, this is sort of reminiscent of the ancient American Indian analogy that within every body, within every person, there are two dogs. There's the good dog and there's the bad dog. Anyone here has experience of those two dogs within themselves? Is that the good dog calling or the bad dog? She's going to find out. I would say it might be the bad dog because it's led her away from Krishna and Krishna Katha. So within us, we have the good dog and the bad dog. So just ask, who here has had that experience of the good dog and the bad dog within? You know, the good dog is saying, ruff, 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 do the right things. Do the good things. Do the Krishna conscious things. And the bad dog is saying, don't worry about it. You've got plenty of time. Life is long. Just enjoy. Enjoy now. Just have fun and don't worry. And anyway, no one's going to see you anyhow. Right? Like that? So the good dog and the bad dog. And the American Indians, they explain that there's a constant fight between these two dogs, and we want to know which dog wins. So which dog wins?
The one you feed.
That's right, the one you feed the most. And how do we feed these dogs of the mind? Association, you said?
What we
read, what we look at, exactly, by our activities. By which one we listen to and act on. So the more that we act upon the calling and the barking of the bad dog, then we actually feed it. And then the bad dog becomes stronger and more powerful. And then when the good dog says, ruff, ruff, the bad dog says, arr! And the good dog says, runs away. So we have to feed the good dog. And then we can become like the swans. So this is a nice analogy that's given that can help us understand. Now, these different types of literature is also described here. So we have the mundane literature, which is books and magazines that line the shelves if you go into any petrol garage or news agents the bookshops. The shelves are lined with books and magazines, all trying to titillate the senses of the general public. And it's described that these places are places of pilgrimage for crows. So places where we go to just titillate the mind with mundane knowledge that encourages us in sense gratification is like eating garbage. It's like relishing the remnants. Prabhupada, what was that poetic statement he said? I can't find it now. Yeah, Prabhupada says the remnants of something, I can't remember. But it's like that, that it's just the remnants of all sensuous topics. It's just, it's like, what's this verse? What is it? Charvatam. Yeah, punar punas charvachan. Yeah. Anyway, chewing that which has already been chewed. So many people have come before and they've chewed it. Like I remember one senior devotee gave a class and he described, like, if you remember in school or if you go to some public places, sometimes if you rub your hands under the desk, what will you find? Anyone?
Chewing gum.
And what is, that's not like a fresh stick of chewing gum, is it? It's like a nice, someone's chewed it to the point where it has no more flavor, and then they spit it out and they stuck it under the table. And then imagine you come along and you rub your hand there and you think, ooh, bit of gum, and you pull it down and you pop it into your mouth and you start chewing it. Mm-hmm. Just trying to get some flavor. Some taste. And there might be something there. But how nasty is that? It's pretty disgusting, isn't it? And we're just chewing that which has been chewed so many times, again and again and again and again, trying to squeeze out some flavor. But we see those persons who have chewed before us, they're not happy. What was it we were just... I saw in the headlines of newspaper some billionaires. He invented something, or he was very instrumental in the development of some technology or something. I can't remember. But anyway, this couple, husband and wife, the wife had died from a drug overdose, and they were describing in the papers how these two people, they were billionaires, so wealthy, so much money, fame, wonderful house. I forget where their house was, but, 50 million pound house they were living in. And in the whole house, they just lived in one small section. They shut themselves off in that section. And all they did all day was smoke crack and take heroin, I think, or something like that. But anyway, just sit there all day and just do drugs, trying to find some happiness. And they have so much, yet they're just so bewildered. And then I think this lady died of an overdose, and she was there in the house for something like 5 to 7 days before the husband actually, like, reported it to anyone, probably because he was in such a stoned stupor that he didn't know what to do and was completely bewildered. But this is the state of persons who are meant to be, you know, who are chewing the material energy. They're trying to get some relish out of it, and they're successful, right? Who here wants some money? Be honest, right? No one? Really, you are such a bunch of renunciants. I'm really glad to hear that. So everyone here can just renounce all Lakshmi and just surrender yourself. You can just put it here in my pocket. I'll give it to Krishna. You can put it on the in that box over there, not in my pocket, in the box over there. And so, of course, everyone is wanting. Of course, that's not wrong to want some Lakshmi, but what we use it for, so these people got that, but then they're not happy and they're just suffering so much. So these mundane literatures are compared to this rehashed ideas, newspapers. Like, even though, you know, I just commented that I read some bit in a newspaper, but what do we use it for? Someone who's reading the newspaper, using it to help us understand the suffering nature of the material world. I remember I used to read the newspaper every morning on the way to work in the city. And if you're ever on the train at somewhere between 6 and 9 a.m., you'll see everyone's doing this, reading the same thing. And then when they get to work, they all talk about the same. Did you see in the news? Yeah, I saw that. And then the whole topic of conversation is around the newspaper. And I remember when I first moved into the temple, probably about a year and a half to 2 years, I didn't even look at a newspaper. And then one day I picked one up out here on the shoe rack, and I thought, oh, I haven't looked at a newspaper in a long time. I wonder what's happening in the world. And then, of course, I was in a different world and very happily situated there. And then I opened the pages and I thought, here it is. Every story is identical to the stories I was reading 2 years ago. Just the names have changed, the faces have changed, and some of the places have changed. But there was someone who was killed by someone else. There was someone who had been raped. There was war somewhere. There was some politician who was doing something incorrect, you know, and it was hardly anything positive. And it was just all this bad news about all these people who are doing these horrendous things. And I'm thinking, God, that's what I was filling my consciousness with for so many years, and what everyone in the world is filling their consciousness with. So like this mundane literature can do nothing for us unless it's used in Krishna's service to help us understand the suffering nature of the world. But that literature which describes the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that literature is likened unto the place of pilgrimage for swans, for the hamsas. And the hamsas are the paramahamsas, Srila Prabhupada says. They're the great souls. They're the those souls who relish the Bhagavatam. So why is it that this these literatures? Because actually, now if we get into the context of the Bhagavatam where this is mentioned. Who is speaking here? Does anyone know who's speaking here? Narada Muni is speaking to Srila Vyasadeva. Okay, and who is Srila Vyasadeva? He's the author, the compiler of the Vedas, and he is also the author of the Mahabharata and the Vedanta Sutra. The Vedanta Sutra is the compilation that is the essence of the Vedas. And he's also later to be the author of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this conversation here is between Narada Muni and Srila Vyasadeva. But the actual conversation that's taking place isn't between Narada Muni and Srila Vyasadeva. The conversation is taking place between who? Huh? God? No. Between Suta Goswami and specifically one sage? Huh? Shaunika Rishi. So Shaunika Rishi is inquiring from Suta Goswami, and his inquiry has inspired Suta Goswami to speak this section of the Bhagavatam. So he specifically asked. Now, it's quite interesting. I was reading in Burijan Prabhu's book, and if we look at text 1 of chapter 4 of this first canto, then Shaunaka Rishi is labeled there. The name that he's given is Kulapati. Kulapati. Kulapati means? Pati means? Husband, usually husband. Sitapati. Sitapati means the husband of Sita. Another term is Lord. Lord, Sitapati, or like that. So Kula, Akula is? Kula, yeah. Gurukul? House of the Guru. Like school, or yeah, family. So it's described that Kulapati means one who is the lord or husband or master of a certain family. But in this situation, referring to Shaunaka Rishi, it's described that Shaunaka Rishi is the Brahman who is the guru of 10,000 disciples, 10,000 sages. These are the sages that have gathered at Naimisharanya. They're actually Shaunaka Rishi's students. They're his disciples. He is the Kulapati. He is the master of the presiding rishi over who's responsible for these sages. And he's hearing from Suta Goswami. And who is Suta Goswami? Son of Romaharshan Suta. And Suta Goswami, is he a Brahmana? No. Suta Goswami is not a Brahmin. Actually, Suta Goswami is from mixed caste, and he's also the son of Romaharshan Suta, who was an offender at the lotus feet of Lord Balaram, and who was killed by Lord Balaram, and then Suta Goswami was blessed with all the knowledge and learning. But Suta Goswami, in one sense, is of externally, or at least apparently materially speaking, of lower class or lower caste or lower qualifications than Shaunaka Rishi. But Shaunaka Rishi here is inquiring with great enthusiasm from Suta Goswami. Why? Because Suta Goswami has become an elevated personality because he heard what? He heard the Bhagavatam from Shukadev Goswami. So simply by hearing the Bhagavatam, Suta Goswami, who is also a sage, but in one sense of a lower birth or lower classification, he has become elevated to the point where he is transcendental and he can recite the Bhagavatam for all of the sages of Naimisharanya, and he can instruct someone as exalted as Shaunaka Rishi, who is the guru of 10,000 disciples. So this gives a little insight into the power of hearing from the Bhagavatam. Now there's a verse in the 18th chapter of the first canto, 18:18, where Suta Goswami himself speaks about his qualification. He says, Sri Suta Goswami said, O God, although we are born in a mixed caste, we are still promoted in birthright simply by serving and following the great who are advanced in knowledge. Even by conversing with such great souls, one can without delay cleanse oneself of all disqualifications resulting from lower birth. Did everyone get that? What is he saying in this verse? Yeah, if you associate with great personalities, if you associate with those who are spiritually advanced, then you also become spiritually advanced. How? Srinvatam Swakata Krishna. By hearing from the great souls, by hearing the Bhagavatam, by hearing story or pastimes of the Lord's activities, the heart becomes purified. What is the verse from the Nectar of Devotion that also describes a similar thing? Sarvopadi vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam rishikena Rishikesha, Sevanam Bhaktir Uchite. Sevanam Bhaktir Uchite. That pure devotional service, bhakti, the practice of bhakti, when performed, and what is that practice of bhakti? It means to engage your senses in the service of the master of the senses. So it means to realign your activities with God, with Krishna. When we realign our senses in the service of Krishna, of God, which is what we're meant to do with this body, when we do that, there are two side effects. What is the first one? Sarvo padi vanir muktam. Sarvo padi. Sarva means all. Upadis. Upadis are designations, bodily designations. I am American, I am British, I am Hindu, I am Christian, I am a man, I am a woman. All of these upadis become vinir muktam. You become muktam, liberated from them, freed from them. Sarvo padi vinir muktam. So by practicing bhakti, we become freed from these bodily designations. And what is the other one? Tatparatvena nirmalam. Nirmalam, rishikena. Nirmalam means to become, your senses, they become purified. Nirmalam. No malam, no malice, no nasty things are there. They become purified. So simply by performing bhakti and devotional service, our senses become purified, and our upadis or bodily designations, we become freed from them. So Suta Goswami is the perfect example of this, because he's sitting with the sages of Naimisharanya, speaking to Shaunaka Rishi, and he's discussing these topics on the elevated seat, yet he's come from apparently a lower caste. And Srila Prabhupada, he gives very nice purport there. Let's have a quick look and read a little bit, where he says, Suta Goswami did not take his birth in a Brahmin family. He was born in a family of mixed caste or uncultured low family. But because of higher association like Shukadev Goswami and the great rishis of Naimisharanya, certainly this disqualification of inferior birth was washed off. And Prabhupada goes on to discuss how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu followed the same process, and also this International Society for Krishna Consciousness is following the same process, in that people from any walk of life can actually become pure devotees. They can not only become saintly persons, but they can become pure devotees. Now, Shaunaka Rishi was inquiring about Srila Vyasa. Anyone has any questions, comments at this point? I don't think the mic is set up anyway, but you can at least... Okay, everyone's okay so far? Anything? So, Srila Vyasadeva, Shaunaka Rishi is inquiring about Srila Vyasadeva because Srila Vyasadeva is such an exalted and respected person, the literary incarnation of Godhead, as Jayatrapu was describing to us yesterday. He compiled the Vedas, separated them into four sections, assigned great rishis to look after each section. He then wrote the Vedanta Sutra, then the Mahabharata, which includes the Bhagavad Gita, and yet he's despondent. He's not happy. He's not feeling fulfilled. He's not feeling satisfied. Yet, he's a great personality. And Shaunaka Rishi is asking, you know, what is the deal with that? How is that possible that you have this great soul that's despondent, so despondent that he sits down on the bank of the river and he just begins to kind of meditate, trying to figure out what his despondency is all about. And who manifests? Who appears? his guru, Narada Muni. And Narada Muni is at first even addressing him as Prabhu and so kind to him. But then once we get to this verse, Narada Muni is basically slating him like anything. He's basically telling him that all this literature that you've just written is mundane, and it's like a place of pilgrimage for crows. I mean, we're not talking about porno mags on the top of the magazine rack, or some hot rod magazine, or some magazine about computers or fishing. We're talking about the Vedas. And Narada Muni is saying it's like garbage. This is pretty intense. I thought we were following the Vedas. How can this be so? How could Narada Muni speak like this? How could he say this? Is this correct? Is this what Narada Muni is saying? Yeah, this is what he's saying. And why is that? Well, Jiva Goswami and Sridhar Maharaj, they both comment that rituals without devotion are absolutely useless. So the performance of rituals without the cultivation of priti, priti, right? The cultivation of priti, which means what? Love. And not just love like boy meets girl, but love on the spiritual platform. Priti means developing love for God, for Krishna. So any activities that are being performed, even if they're in accordance with Vedic scripture, it's not done with devotion or not helping us to cultivate bhakti or love for the personal form of God, then it is basically useless. Or at least it's of lesser value. Jiva Goswami says, spiritual knowledge is less valuable than bhakti. Gyan is less valuable than bhakti. So the Olympics are coming, right? So if you get the silver medal, it's good. But guess what? It's not the best. What are you going for? We're going for gold. We're going for Gauranga, right? So we're going for the topmost thing. What's the third one? Is it not bronze? Is it bronze? Yeah, bronze. So bronze is, you know, I mean, at least you get to stand on the podium, but it's not, you know, and so what do we have? We have the bronze is like Brahman realization. And Jiva Goswami explains that this is the level of realization that Srila Vyasadeva has attained up to this point, and that's what the Vedas are discussing, Brahman realization. But he says that actually to cultivate understanding and knowledge of the personal God, at least from the platform of Paramatma, to begin to cultivate Paramatma realization, then one can begin to develop priti, love. Because in order to have love, there has to be a person. There has to be not just sat and chit, but ananda, bliss. And ananda, bliss, love, it comes from the interaction with Bhagawan, with the person. So bronze is Brahman. Silver is the Paramatma. And Bhagawan realization is the gold. So we have the opportunity to go for gold. If you get silver, are you like really happy? I mean, if you get bronze, are you like, I mean, are you standing there? Because I think it's like this, isn't it? The levels. And then you're standing over here and you've got two guys ahead of you. I mean, are you really happy? Are you really happy? You're like, okay, at least I made it on this stupid podium, but man, I could have done better. Isn't it? And if you get the silver, you're like, well, I'm better than that guy down there and all the other ones who are standing out there, but I'm still not. So still satisfaction isn't there. But when you get the gold, of course, this is a mundane analogy to describe, but when you get the gold, then you can become happy. You know, you beat everybody. You're at the top. So it's the same. Once we develop that, we cultivate that relationship with Krishna, with the Supreme, then one can become satisfied. And Narada Muni is here chastising Śrīla Vyāsadeva and explaining to him, the reason you're despondent is because you haven't used, you know, or you haven't glorified, extolled the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You haven't given that to everyone and you haven't relished it yourself, although you've touched upon it briefly in different places, but you haven't really extolled the Lord's glories. And once you do that, then you can become completely satisfied and happy. So this is the setting that is here for these pages of the Bhagavatam with the conversation between Shaunaka Rishi and Suta Goswami, and subsequently they're telling about Narada Muni and Śrīla Vyāsadeva like that. Hare Krishna. I'll stop there. Anyone has any quick questions or comments? Any corrections, Maharaj? Any chastisements? Anything? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. Tadas Prabhu. I'm not sure if that's on. The light is on, but no one's home. Okay. Is it on mute? Now try. It must be on mute, that thing. Press it one more time. That's it.
Hare Krishna.
Well, it wasn't on.
So Srimad Bhagavatam, is it studied by Mayavadis, and how do they understand it?
Say that again. Srimad Bhagavatam
is
studied by?
Like those people who are not...
Mayavadis, you said. Yeah.
And how do they understand it? Is it Vedic? Is it close to Vedic literature?
As far as I understand, the Mayavadis, they avoid the Bhagavatam. I don't even think Shankaracharya gave a commentary on it. They avoid it because there's no way you can read the Bhagavatam and not be confronted by the personal form of the Lord, and it completely eradicates any ideas of spiritual perfection by becoming one with the Lord. So the Mayavadis don't go near it because they're maybe like crows. At least they would rather absorb themselves in becoming God. They're probably worse than crows, actually, because they're offensive to the Lord. So, you know, the suffering that they will incur is much worse. So they don't even go near the Bhagavatam. Anyone else? Comments, questions, concerns? Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Gaudiya Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. So, for the pleasure of the Lordships. Okay. We have some scores from yesterday. In Radha's boutique, we distributed 12 books for 226 Lakshmi points. Transcendental Shopping Ki Jai. And in Govinda's restaurant, we distributed prasadam to at least 293 customers for a total of 2,105 Lakshmi points. Transcendental Prasadam Distribution Ki Jai. And on book distribution yesterday, Bhakta Pasha collected one Lakshmi point, distributed one small and one medium book for 0.75 book points. And this score is put in incorrectly. It says Bhaktin Julia, but it should be under Julia Burrows. Bhakta Robert, if you could make that adjustment. She sponsored 51 Lakshmi points worth of books and distributing 5 big and 5 maha big books for 15 book points. So those of you who don't know, Julia Burrows is every day on watching from Mangalarti time until probably right now. She may even watch during breakfast and honor prasad at the same time. She lives so far away, South End on Sea. She lives way down on the coast, but every day her and her son and daughter are regularly watching online and here with us in the community. So thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Total of 2 devotees reporting scores, 52 Lakshmi, 1 small, 1 medium, 5 big, 5 maha big for 15.75 book points. Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Book Distribution Key Jai. So we're, believe it or not, trying to have a marathon. I'm not quite sure what's happening. Well, anyway, lots of different things, but any devotees who can manifest some energy to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, at least over the next few days leading up to the end of the marathon, which is on Saturday. Of course, the Nittai Padakamala Traveling Sankirtan Party is out and distributing quite a few books. They were recently in Brighton, and I think they were in Crawley also, and traveling around to different places, so distributing books like that. So while we're offering our prayer to their lordships, we can specifically pray to the Lord to empower them and enable them to distribute lots of books on our behalf, like that. But we should also go out and do it ourselves. Dear Shishi Radhananda Nishwar, Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra, Shishi Gorni Thai, and Giri Govardhan, we offer our most respectful obeisances unto you. With a mood of deep gratitude and appreciation, we request your causeless mercy upon us. For your pleasure, we are endeavoring to distribute the books of your pure devotee Srila Prabhupada to the fallen conditioned souls of London. Please enable us to cooperate together in a mood of selfless service in order to maintain and increase our efforts. Please send more devotees to assist us in bringing many new souls to your lotus feet. We, your surrendered servants, humbly beg. Jai Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So we just need volunteers to serve breakfast prasadam this morning, and volunteers to help clean up the temple room after breakfast. Okay. And volunteers to help in the prasadam chain. Everyone should raise both their hands and say, Gauranga! Okay, so if everyone can please help in the prasadam chain, then we can serve prasadam out very quickly. Thank you. Shubhapa ki jai.